This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. In January, a listener clued us into the fabulous arts blog, Guarlingo. We invited its curator, Michelle Aldridge, to join us on the show and quickly figured out why it's such a delightful, beautifully executed site. Back then, it was Michelle's side venture. Since then, she's quit her job and taken Guarlingo full time. So she's back to tell us how it's going. Michelle, welcome back and congratulations on your independent blog.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back.
Well, you're now among the ranks of the professional blogger. How's it going?
It's good. You know, I like the freelance life, making my own hours and traveling. And it seems like, you know, I quit my job at the McDowell Colony after 13 years, a marvelous place, and opened up the space and lots of new opportunities have come in. So it's great.
And the blog looks redesigned, too. Have you done a slight redesign?
Yeah, a little bit of tweaking. And then over the next few months, I'm going to be looking at ways to expand it and make it better. So,
well, it looks terrific.
Thank you.
Remind us briefly, why the name Guarlingo?
Guarlingo. So Guarlingo is a Welsh word for the rushing sound that a grandfather clock makes before it chimes. And you can take what you want from that. I like to think of it as a metaphor for the creative process, but could mean a lot of things.
Well, we love that it brings great, often unknown artists' work to us and ideas. Looking at some of the things you write about, something that we can all see soon, Wes Anderson's film Moonrise Kingdom.
Yes, fabulous. I know you've seen it.
I did. I saw it in Boston. It is coming to New Hampshire. I think it is a couple of different venues in the coming month or so. You obviously loved it, too. So
I did.
What makes this film worth blogging about?
Yeah, I mean, Wes Anderson either rubs you the wrong way or the right way. And, you know, he's often described as a quirky, clever director. You know, if you didn't love Rushmore or the fantastic Mr. Fox, don't bother with Moonrise Kingdom. Just go see Prometheus or something else. But if you like him, this is one of his best films. And, you know, he's not a realist. He's a fabulous and he is, I think of this film as some kind of combination between John Cheever and Roald Dahl, or it's like a surreal Norman Rockwell. You know, we're depicting a family in the 1960s New England town, and it's vivid and beautiful to watch.
Let's hear just a clip from Moonrise Kingdom. Film newcomers here, Jared Gilman and Kara Howard as Sam and Susie. Now, this is one of those classic movie scenes where two young romantics come together from opposite ends of a meadow.
Were you followed?
I doubt it.
Good. Can you read a map?
Uh-huh.
I do cartography.
I feel we should go halfway today and halfway tomorrow since you're a less experienced tiger and you're wearing Sunday school shoes.
They're not really Sunday school shoes.
Oh, thank you. Here's where we are right now. I'd like to pitch camp here by 1600, which means 4 o'clock. How's that sound?
Fine.
You want some beef jerky?
Okay.
Let's go.
It's just this wonderful depiction of young love and fantasy. And I came away from there thinking, I'm so glad I live in the same universe that Wes Anderson can make movies.
Absolutely. A friend of mine, when we came out of the film, she said, I feel like I've just woken up from a surreal dream, you know, and I haven't laughed this hard in ages in a film.
All right. So that's Wes Anderson's Moonrise Kingdom. Please look out for it. It's going to be in Concord at the Red River. I know. I think it's coming to Hanover as well. And also to the Portsmouth Music Hall. All right, so last time we were alerted to your site by a terrific post about the art of Japanese manhole covers. Now, we didn't get to talk about it, but the great thing about the internet, the posts just keep on coming. People are still getting a lot of attention.
This has been my most popular post so far, and I'm probably the only blogger who's been featured on Andrew Sullivan's The Dish as well as the Stormwater Management Model blog.
Bravo!
Yeah. Who knew there was a blog about that? But it's really fascinating. I came across this. I found a book called Drain Spotting by a wonderful publisher, Mark Batty Publishers. And Japan has this very unique approach to manhole covers. I have this fascination with both street art and infrastructure. And this just brought those two things together. In Japan, back when they, in the 60s, when they were actually going to be putting in new sewer systems, there was a lot of resistance to it. So they came up with this idea of letting each town have its own design. Mm-hmm. And somehow this allowed buy-in. And so now there's 95 percent of the 1,780 municipalities in Japan have their own customized manhole covers. And these designs depict everything from local landmarks, folk tales, flora, fauna, cranes, mountain scenery. They're beautiful. And there are drain spotters out there who actually, have hobbies going around photographing all of these and collecting them. And I highly recommend this book. And then on my blog, I pulled together 61 images I found from the Creative Commons, many that hadn't been seen, and put them together so you can peruse those.
It's beautiful and colorful. You can find that on the Guar Lingo blog. Another example of public art, a flash mob of the Copenhagen Philharmonic. Now, what's the setup here? What happened?
Yeah, I loved this. It just completely made my day, and I had such response. I had so many emails, and people said, oh, this just like made my day and made me cry. It made me smile. So the Copenhagen Philharmonic pulled off this really audacious stunt. They performed Edvard Grieg's Peer Gynt on a crowded, moving metro train for unsuspecting passengers. And so they were on the subway, passengers got on. You see them looking around, looking, what's going on? A little uncomfortable, a little confused. and then the next thing you know, by the end, everyone's beaming and smiling. It's a wonderful thing to see. It's a musical flash mob. And I just love the fact that, there's so much happening right now with musicians and contemporary composers trying to get classical music out of the concert hall. And this is a wonderful example of how you can do that.
Yeah, putting it on the subway is about as far from the concert hall
Absolutely.
As imaginable.
Yeah, I love it. And it makes the music accessible, and it shows that, it's art. This kind of music is for everyone. And check out the video because it's a lot of fun.
That's Grieg's Peer Gynt, performed on a Copenhagen subway train, I guess. Now, you recently visited the new downtown Philadelphia location for the Barnes Collection. Now, this is the very famous, or notorious, depends on who you ask, $25 billion collection. It's been in the middle of a tug-of-war between the city and the Barnes Foundation. It was the topic of a documentary film. We talked with the filmmaker. Lots of coverage. But in the end, what did you think?
I think it's a mixed bag. I mean, the controversy, if you saw The Art of the Steal, you know the controversy. The art world's been buzzing with this topic.
Give us a little background.
Yeah, so basically, Albert Barnes, established one of the most impressive collections of post-impressionist and modern art in the world. 44 Picassos, 69 Cezannes, 60 Matisses, 881 Renoirs, 2,500 items total in the collection. This was before this was popular, and the critics at the time hated the work when he had a show. So Barnes, in return, hated the Philadelphia art establishment. He deliberately built a place for this collection 7 minutes outside of downtown Philadelphia. He was a self-made man who advocated, he wanted art to be accessible to the working class. He wanted it to be seen by everyday people. So he stipulated that his collection would remain in this beautiful place in Marion, built especially for the collection, beautiful grounds. And it was to stay intact. It was to stay hung the way that he hung it, which is an unusual arrangement. And it was never to leave Marion. And basically, as the Barnes Foundation came into trouble financially, certain politicians and cultural institutions saw it as an opportunity to move the collection downtown on what they're declaring is a new museum mile. In the end, the collection itself is stunning. And despite what you think about the controversy, go see it, because I've never had such an intimate encounter with art. It's simply breathtaking. But, what I feel is the judge, this move went to court, and the judge ruled that the collection could be moved, but the original galleries had to be replicated exactly as they were. So I feel like what, they ended up with is the galleries, it has kind of a fake quality to it. It looks great. You can see the art better than you could before. Todd Williams and Billy Sen were the architects, and they're fabulous architects, and there's certain details in the building that are beautiful. They basically took those original galleries and situated it inside of a larger building. But I ultimately felt like the context of that original collection and Barnes's intent has been lost. Will more people see it in the new location? probably. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a big debate about accessibility, what's in the public good. And it's, you know, I highly recommend The Art of the Steel if you want to know more about this. And I wrote an extensive review of the building on my website. And just as an aside, actually, locals, before too long, in about a year, locals will have a chance to see Todd Williams and Billy Sins, one of their designs. They're designing the new library at the McDowell Colony, which just broke ground recently.
They also did the Museum of American Folk Art in New York, which is fantastic.
So we're going to have this one, you know, a real architectural gem right here in New Hampshire. So I've seen the design. It's lovely. In some ways, I think it's even more successful than the Barnes, even though it's a smaller project. So New Hampshireites should stay tuned for that.
New Hampshireites should also stay tuned for some of the many local and semi-local art events that are coming up on this summer. We have just a moment. Give me your one highlight, actually, from this summer. And, of course, these are all covered on the Guarlingo blog if people want to have a look.
Well, we have Metal Day at the McDowell Colony coming up with Nan Golden the photographer, on August 12th, Open Studios, Picnic Lunch. It's a lovely day. It's all free. I highly recommend that. And also the Bang on a Can Marathon down at Mass Mocha, which will be great, too. I'm looking forward to that.
Well, this is one of the great feasts. Just the taste. It's like an all-you-can-eat buffet of beautiful things to do on Guarlingo. We can really get lost in it. I congratulate you on going independent.
Thanks so much, Virginia. Thanks for having me back.
Thanks so much for joining us. Michelle Aldrich, creator and curator of the arts blog Guarlingo. Now, you can find a link to dive in and that video of the Copenhagen Philharmonic subway performance and the trailers for Moonrise Kingdom, the Japanese manhole covers. All of that can be connected at wordofmouthradio.org. Thanks so much for joining us today. Of course, we're here every day, Monday through Thursday, from noon until 1, and again at 9 p.m. But if you can get us anytime at wordofmouthradio.org. Thanks for joining us.
Word of Mouth is produced by Taylor Quimby,
Todd Bookman,
Virginia Prescott,
and senior producer Rebecca Lavoie, with oversight and direction
from Abby Goldstein, NHPR's Vice President of Programming,
and web support from Brady Carlson
and Courtney Kenyon.
Andrew Perella provides technical support,
and Dan Kogan runs our board.
Now for the legalese.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals, like myself,
not those of NHPR,
its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters.
The Shifting the Balance series is made possible with support from HNH Foundation.
For information about the show, to subscribe to our podcast, post a comment, or to read our blog,
go to wordofmouthradio.org
or join our community of listeners on Facebook at Word of Mouth Radio.
You can also follow us on Twitter at Word of Mouth.
Word of Mouth is a production.
Word of Mouth is a production.
Word of Mouth is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio.
I'm out. Done. Hit it. Thanks, Rebecca.